What's up, music entrepreneurs?
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to Forward Producer.
Yes. Hopefully you all are doing good. We're going to talk about building your brand, marketing tactics for people in the music industry. This is episode 2 of the series. In this episode, we're going to talk about creating a strong visual identity because you want that thing to be strong so that people aren't confused, people know who they're connecting with. When brands come to talk to you about, you know, sponsorships and all that stuff, they're going to see that you have your stuff taken care of and you're going to be able to generate that money, thus generating yourself some money.
Right.
So if that interests you, stay tuned. We got a couple of those topics to talk about, to cover for you all, so you'll be able to, you know, level up your industry, music industry game.
Yep.
But before we jump in, make sure you go like, share, subscribe, comment, all that stuff. This episode or our podcast brings you any value at all.
Yeah.
It'll mean a lot if you like, share, comment, subscribe, rate, wherever platform you're consuming. It'll help us a lot. So go do that, please. That would be awesome.
Please.
And I'm Rome. Right. This is Ray. We've been in the music industry for a hot minute. Learned a lot. Messed up a lot and learn from our mess ups, and we don't want you all to have to go through the same thing as us. That's why we do this, so you can learn from our mess ups.
That is right.
Right, Ray Dog?
Right is right.
And then we also have a webinar. You want to tell them about the webinar, Ray?
Yeah, man. A fantastic webinar, 4 secrets to becoming a 6-figure music entrepreneur. We are Rome and I kind of lay out just the 4 things you need to know to really become a music entrepreneur, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help people make money and make a living doing their dream of being in the music business. So go check that out. I think it's going to be super encouraging and it's going to be informative and really, as Rome say, put you on some game about becoming a 6-figure music entrepreneur. Go check it out.
Go check it out.
Go check it out.
So, also, Ray has some industry news for us. What industry news you have for us, Ray Dog?
Yeah, so you guys know, like, with TikTok, how you can change the speed of songs, right? So you can speed them up. You can slow them down. Or it's either that or, you know, you do it on another program or whatever and then bring it in. Well, there's a lot of that. In fact, TikTok, I think it's about a third, over 30% of all music on TikTok is what they call, the adjustable.
Modified.
Modified tracks. And what's crazy is the original track owner doesn't get any money for that. It's the content creator that put it up. So Spotify is now working on a little, not a device, but it's a feature on their app where you can speed up and slow down. And what's cool about this is not only can you do that, the original owner of the track will get paid whenever the spins go. So I think that's really, really cool. I think that's really cool what Spotify's trying to do there. Yes, are they trying to compete with TikTok? Absolutely. But you're going to be able to pay the original rights holder money whenever that modified track gets a stream.
That's so probably why really a lot cool. of these people are leaving TikTok, because TikTok's not paying them right.
Right. And then, Universal, I think a couple of months ago, pulled all their music from TikTok because of that reason. So
TikTok don't even care. They probably don't care. They're just like, whatever.
They're so big.
They're not making any changes.
I know. They're not at all. So it's interesting.
Craziness.
Yeah, it's just an effort. What Universal is trying to do is just, you know, make an effort to try to get more money for rights holders, you know, people that are you know, making the content. And quite frankly, let's just be honest, TikTok and Spotify and folks like that, they're making billions on the backs of the content. Spotify would be nothing without the songs. So why are you going to do me like that?
It's craziness.
That's right.
What a time to be alive.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's industry news. I think it's crazy that, you know, it's probably just hard to track those modified songs, you know, to be able to, because that's the way they have to be able to pay people out, is be able to track it. But if you're pitch shifting and changing the tempo and key and blah, 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 it's hard to track that.
That's right.
You need some genius AI tool to do it, which probably...
Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm sure they're working on that. Yeah, man.
So let's jump into the main talk. So we're talking about building your brand, marketing tactics for people in the music industry, creating a strong visual identity. So this episode is creating a strong visual identity. The first thing we're going to talk about is the importance of visual branding.
Yeah.
To me, your brand is everything.
Everything.
You're going to be your name for the rest of your life. If you try to rename yourself, you could do that, but you're still going to be you. You know what I'm saying? What do you think of that, Ray?
Absolutely. Like, it's so important to really have a brand visually because it's basically your thumbprint. Now, I know the different, you know, companies that have been out there for, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years, you know, they'll periodically change their brand. But then you have someone like Apple. Like, you can just look at something at Apple and without even, you know, seeing the name, you know who it is. And that's really a brand. In fact, what's his name? Seth Godin says that a real brand, so let's say Nike. Like, if you think about Nike, you could kind of, even though they're not in the hotel space, let's say, if Nike built a hotel, you probably know just visually right now what that would probably look like. That's a brand. If Hilton wanted to do a shoe, you probably have no clue what that would look like. That's because Hilton is not really a brand. It's really a management company at the end of the day. So really, people like Nike and Apple and all those things, they actually have a holistic approach to what their brand looks like, and you always know it's them, always.
Yep. I think along the lines of like being an artist or being a manager of artists and stuff like that, sometimes that could easily just be looked over because you're focused on whatever, the music or touring. But you got to make sure that the visual brand is on point because, you know, social media is huge. And if your visual branding, whatever you're putting out there to the world, is not lining up with, I guess, everything that you're doing, it's going to confuse people. It's going to contradict whatever what you're doing. But having that conversation, planning through it, planning is really what's going to be key with it all. You know, like, I wonder how many meetings, like you brought up Nike, how many meetings Nike and Apple have gone through to kind of decide on visual branding and decide
on the
changes and, you know, all that stuff, which it's paying dividends because look at them now. We're talking about them. The whole world knows about them. So something to think about.
And you know, just another example, Beyonce, let's say. When you see the name Beyonce, like if you notice that the letters are usually elongated, it's all caps. You're never going to see the word Beyonce in cursive, at least, you know, for a, you know, a major, you know, campaign or something. You're never going to see Beyonce in cursive. You're not going to see it in small caps, like, you know, capital B, you know, small cap E, you know, and all that kind of thing. But it's because she wants to project an image of strength when you see her name. And that is part of her brand, like projecting female strength. So that's kind of, I mean, those are some of the things like fonts, you know, all caps, obviously colors, all those types of things kind of go into what creates a great brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
100%. So the next one we're going to talk about is designing logos, album covers, promotional materials that reflect your brand. So this goes along the lines of design. I think the same thing goes for like what we're talking about, visual branding. You got to have the planning done to make sure that your stuff is done well. Like, right. Logos is a huge thing. There's plenty of, like, if you didn't know the Nike check, like the swoosh or check mark, whatever you like to call it, that's them planning out the design of the logo, and that's what they've been with for years, and it's like a household logo now. And artist are managing. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that swoosh is so strong that all you need is a swoosh, and you automatically know it's Nike. You don't even need anything else. It's Nike.
And it's not multicolored. It doesn't have multiple elements. It's just simple, effective.
Boom. Yep.
Yeah, I also think, like, we got... So this section is more about design. So we have album covers, promotional material. So all of it... I think we're talking about the foundation would be something along the lines of deciding what you are as a visual brand, and everything is going to stem from there. That's your foundation. So we're going into logos, album covers, promotional material, and that all has to reflect your brand. So you're not putting out confusing stuff. Like, I follow a lot of metal stuff around, and they have a certain style on the promotional material. But if Taylor Swift went and put out a flyer that looked like a metal show, it's going to be confusing. You know what I mean? People are going are going to be thrown off and possibly even overlook it. You know what I mean? Yep. If it was to hit them up in their feed and it's right there in their face, they may overlook it because it's not on brand with what she would be putting out.
Right. Love it.
Let's see what else we got. We have the logo thing's huge. It's all about planning too. Album covers is a huge thing too. Like, Ray and I are a big fan of Drip Hustle, you know, dripping out content and being consistent with it. Like, if you're going to drop an album of 10 tracks, don't just drop the album. Drop singles, drop EPs within that, and then drop the album. So if you're dropping it with cover art that they all don't make sense and they're all confusing and they're, like, just completely radically different, your audience is probably going to be confused and it's not going to be on brand with what you're doing. So that's also to think about what your branding's going to look like and plan it out. Plan out what it's going to look like so that you could set that stuff in motion so that your audience is connected more and they're not confused by it.
Right.
And then the third thing we have is consistency across social media profiles, websites, and merchandise. Go ahead, talk about it.
Yeah, that's absolutely vital. It'd be kind of crazy if you saw one brand on your social, then a completely different brand on your merch. Like consistency. In fact, that's the whole point of branding, I think, is that no matter what you're putting out, because what you're putting out is going to change, obviously, right? You know, from merch to an album cover, right? That's going to change. But what should not change is your brand between the two or the 10, however many different products you have. It's how you show that this product, you know, besides saying it, but this product is mine. You know, as an artist, this is my voice. This is who I am. This is my visual identity. And so, you know, whether I'm doing a mug or an album cover, it's the same thing. It builds consistency across all of your products that you're putting out. And you have to do that. That's super important.
Yep. And I think super along important. The lines of, yeah, super. I think along the lines of a potential fan or eventually a customer. Say you have your Instagram, they find you on Instagram or they find you on Spotify, and then you have a merch drop or whatever, a vinyl drop, or you have special promotion, early bird access to whatever, you're dropping digital products like a behind the scenes tour video that you'll get for free, but you have to pay whatever, or not, you won't get it for free, but you'll get access to if you pay whatever. And the people have to go across to your website, and your website is not set up properly that it's confusing to people. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot that they say a confused customer doesn't buy. So you want to make sure your stuff is kind of streamlined across everywhere that a potential fan or a actual fan could go and look through to make sure that they're not confused, especially if you do something like a merch drop. You know what I mean? Like, you should streamline it, make it simple. That's why I think a lot of these brands have been so effective, because as opposed to making a bunch of fluff and filler that could potentially confuse people, they make it simple and streamlined so that their fans and their clients, their customers could just go across and boom, without being confused, without being stopped, and have to like really think through a lot of stuff. They could just go in and purchase what they need to purchase, what they first intended to purchase. So like, if you're dropping a digital product like a behind the scenes tour thing that they have to pay for, you don't want that access to be hidden somewhere because your brand is off on your website and the people have to second guess like, well, am I on the right website? Why did I go to a completely different website? I thought I was on Taylor Swift's website, but now I'm on some, it looks like I'm somewhere else. It doesn't look like her brand. And then they're backtracking, and they have to go back and they have to go forth and they're overthinking. But if you make it seamless because your brand is on point from going one place to the other, and then when it comes time for them to check out and pay you, then it's easy because they have it all set up. It's comfortable. It's not confusing. Your brand is there. Your logo's there. They're not on a completely different website compared to what you've been putting out on Instagram or YouTube or wherever they may have found you, or on Spotify or wherever. Right. So just something to think about. It's huge. I think, you know, that could often be overlooked, especially like this main topic of visual identity. It could often be overlooked. A lot of people just focus so much on the music. Like we're talking about music industry. You focus so much on the music, focus so much on like a snare sound or whatever, and you're forgetting, you're leaving out details that actually have, I would say, have more connection to your fans than a reverb on a vocal.
Right. There you go. You know what I mean?
You agree with that, Ray?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So just to recap, we're talking about the importance of visual branding. Like we said, that's kind of the foundation. Then we're talking about logos, album covers, promotional material that reflect your brand. And then just having consistency across all the platforms that you're on, like your Instagram, YouTube, all your social platforms, your website, your merchandise as well. And that is foundational. That's going to be key. If you're able to get a hold of that, that should help a lot with, you know, making a lot more money out of this music industry.
Right.
And Ray has a story for us about, you know, him investing into himself and seeing some good outcome with it.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, we hear this a lot around, you know, social media and the world these days, but it's so true. The best investment that you can make is in yourself. I mean, I never forget Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, saying, one of the biggest investments that you could ever make that will pay the most dividends and the most return, return ROI, return on investment, is investing in yourself. He uses the analogy of actually, you know, learning how to speak, public speaking. Investing in yourself to get better at public speaking will bring you huge dividends. So actually, one of my own little examples of that is a few years ago, I was actually starting a company, an LLC, and needed to actually do some funding. So it was coming to a head, and I was going to have to basically start talking to investors, right? So now, the CEO of a company doesn't have to be a genius at accounting, okay? But the language of business is accounting, okay? So you've at some point you'll come across spreadsheets. If you're doing any kind of business at all, at some point you are going to look at some spreadsheets. You will be looking at projections. You will be looking at numbers, and that's kind of where I found myself. And I was like, man, I don't know what to look for in a financial statement. Like, I don't even know what a financial statement is. So I actually went out and bought a course on Udemy. It was like all you need to know in an MBA in one course. It's about 20 hours. So I actually watched the whole thing. I got my little baby certificate. You know, it was super nice with finance. But I to this day, I'm able to read financial statements and profit and loss statements and all those types of things, and I actually read spreadsheets. And it is, you know, it just to be able to know what people are talking about in the room, and when you're talking to investors and all that kind of thing, it's been a massive ROI for me. So I just want to encourage you guys. Now, for me, it was finance. Warren Buffett encouraged people to learn how to publicly speak, but what is it for you? whatever you need to do in order to take yourself to the next level will be the biggest investment that you could ever make. Right? I promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great story, by the way. Like, yeah. Along the same lines of you telling that story, I'm just thinking, like, how long it would take Ray just to be, like, trying to figure it out on his own, how many right. mess-ups he's going to hit, right. how much money it could potentially cost him down the road, as opposed to putting an initial investment up for that course into himself. That right. way he bypasses what we would call the dummy tax, you know.
That's right.
The not knowing what to do tax that costs you a lot of money and time and effort.
Right.
Just bypassing it all, getting connection with people that know what they're doing, getting a mentor that's going to tell you, don't do that. That's going to mess you up right here. But if you do this, it's going to be very beneficial. This is what you really want to do. You're like, oh, right. okay. So that's huge. That's yeah, that's it. A great story, Ray.
Yeah, yeah. It's real.
Awesome. But before we jump off, make sure you go check out that webinar, Boom. 4 Secrets to Becoming a Six-Figure Music Entrepreneur.
Yes.
Is it a music entrepreneur or music industry? Something like that.
No, music entrepreneur. Four music secrets of becoming a six-figure music entrepreneur.
Just making sure
money
I said it
in
right.
In the music business. Yeah.
Yep. How to make money, how to be successful at it, you know.
Yeah.
Leave your 9-to-5 if you're in a 9-to-5. That's what we're talking about there. And if you could, like, share, comment, subscribe, do all that good stuff for us. It'll help us a lot to get this word out there if this helps you at all. If this brought you any value, if you like Ray's story, if you like the color of Ray's lights in his studio right now, like share, comment, subscribe, and rate, do all that stuff. But thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you all next time. Peace out.